Joining us now to break it all down is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, and of course, head coach of the Ensworth Tigers. Tim, J.C. Latham is the Titans' first round pick at number 7. Rand Carthon said even though he played right tackle at Alabama, he intends to swing him over to left tackle. What was your initial impression of the pick, and what gives you confidence, if at all, that J.C. Latham can make that transition to the left side?
So, I guess I would have to go back a few picks to say, not to say that I was like totally surprised that the Chargers went with Joe Alt.
No, but I'm surprised.
I think that it definitely was like, oh, okay, like there you go. But I've said it to you guys before, like, listen, whether you go 5 or 7, like, look, if you're good enough to go at 7, then you should be good enough to go at 5. And, you know, we maybe talk team need and things of that nature. But like from the time Jim Harbaugh coached it, you know, San Diego to Stanford to the Niners, like he likes to run the football. So that's obviously the direction he was headed. You know, in terms of Latham, like he obviously is a huge man that has, you know, that played well at the college level. Now to move from right to left, I think we talked a little bit about it last week. I think it's hard. I think that it's, it shouldn't be a given. And I think sometimes people think, all right, we'll try to swing you over there, and if it doesn't work, then we'll just move you back. And so I don't really know what the true belief on it is, but I think it's harder than advertised. And, you know, that would generally be my concern, but he's obviously a super talented guy.
And then the second round pick, Devondre Sweat, the defensive tackle out of Texas. And the reports were a lot of general managers dropped him down on their boards, if not took him off entirely, just given the DWI 2 weeks before the draft. And then, of course, the concerns about his playing weight at Texas. A lot of the commentary, at least nationally, has been that the Titans reached for their first two rounds of the draft. J.C. Latham at 7, and then Devondre Sweat at 38. What are your thoughts on, you know, quote-unquote reaching in the draft? Because I know some might say, well, if you love the players, it doesn't matter where you take him. But some might say, well, the value is important in the draft, especially when you're drafting as high as the Titans were.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when people say the reach, you know, somebody's a reach, they say it based on, you know, what mock drafts were. And, look, I think we know. Just look at the – if you just look at mock drafts and look at them after the draft, like a lot of times they're off, right? And like not everybody knows, you know, the rankings on people's boards. Like I think probably a lot of people had said, hey, well, that's a reach for Michael Penix. Well, I mean, clearly not for Atlanta, you know, because that's where they had him. Or look, Spencer Rattler goes in the 5th round. Like had someone taken Spencer Rattler in the 3rd round, like would anyone have been saying like, hey, that was a reach? Like, I don't, you know, I don't think they would. And so I think that, you know, the hard part on saying something is a reach is you don't always know, like it just really takes one other team to like a player. And, you know, you're also trying to forecast what you think a team will do based on their visits, based on, you know, what you think that team need is, like all those different factors. And so like, I just don't know that we ever really know when something was truly a reach or not, because I'll just give you this quick example. When Tim Tebow was drafted, like I was talking to a head coach that same year that they would have taken Tebow in the late 20s. So like people say, oh, hey, that was a reach. It was like, well, somebody else was going to do it too. So maybe they both were reaching, but if somebody else is interested in doing it and you want the player, then you just have to trust your evaluation at that point.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Ensworth Tigers. Now, Tim, are you surprised that there were 6 quarterbacks that were drafted in the top 12 of this year's draft? Because, you know, before the draft, it was a definite 2. There was a possibility that 3 could get drafted in the top 5, but we knew at least 2 would, and 3 would get drafted in the top 10. But there were 6. Are you surprised by that?
I am, and here's why I would say it. Look, Caleb Williams had, you know, uncommon, you know, playmaking ability, but not a perfect prospect. 6'1", you know, 214 pounds, like, honestly, like, smaller than me when I came out. Like, you know, then you get Jaden Daniels. It's a similar thing. Like, you know, he's like this tall and lean player. And you guys know how I felt about Drake May. Like that one is the one that made sense to me. You know, Michael Penix Jr., like the injury, you know, history on him is so long that you'd think, well, shoot, like that's got to factor into it somewhere. You know, I think that, you know, some of the interest in McCarthy, you know, became obvious as things, you know, kind of, you know, played out through the evaluation process. And then you go to Bo Nix, like a similar thing, like a guy that was run out of one school because he wasn't playing great. He's listed it literally the exact measurements I came out at. Like, and I'm using me as the comp because, like, I went undrafted. Like, typically, D. Mason, you know this, like, the guys that are top 10 picks, top 12 picks, like, they look and feel the part in every which way. And, you know, I think what's so interesting about this draft is that, like, there are six guys, and I think you can make the argument that at least four of them don't really fit the bill.
Hmm. Now, do you think that was because they looked at next year's draft and they felt like these teams, whether it be Denver or Minnesota or Atlanta, especially Atlanta, because they just signed Kirk Cousins, mm-hmm. They looked at next year's draft and thought, listen, this year's quarterback group is better than what next year's quarterback group looks like right now. So we need to take our guy this year as opposed to trying to wait next year to get the guy in. He may not even be there.
Yeah, I think that definitely could be part of it. Because, like, you're right. Like, we don't know. Like, all right, like, how good is Quinn Ewers going to be? And, you know, who are the other guys that are in the mix with him? And they'll, just like there is every year, there'll be a surprise guy that finds himself into the mix because, you know, he has a crazy year and he's draft eligible. So I think that's part of it. You know, they're probably just a volume of guys that had played good football at the college level and felt like good prospects. And then I think, like, you know, part of it is you did and then have to say, like, okay, where do we think we'll be picking? And that's obviously hard to project, but, like, if you're the Atlanta Falcons, with the talent they have on offense, which is really good, with what we think they'll be on defense, and then you add Kirk Cousins, who's basically penciled in for, you know, 28 to 30 touchdowns, fewer than 10 interceptions, 4,500 yards. Like, you're probably not going to have a top 12 pick. And so I think that has a lot to do with why they decided to draft Penix, just because I don't think they believe that they're going to be bad with Cousins playing in an offense that he knows so well.
Now, Tim, we'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach at the Innsworth Tigers. Now, looking at this draft, which teams, and I'm not asking you to grade the draft because I think it's truly hard to grade so early, but what you can do is look at a team and say, okay, based upon their needs, the guys they drafted, they should have gotten it right. So, based upon what I just said, which team do you think right now got it right? And do you think the Titans are a part of your list of teams that you feel got it right as we speak now?
I think in the current – like, I think it's fair to say, like, the Titans got it right where they are. Like, if you just go, hey, look, they need to get better on the offense and defensive line. That's where they started. They're going to try to see, you know, what they have in Will Levis. Like, so for them – like, I think you have to say, like, yeah, look, you know, you did what, you know, you should do. That makes sense to me. I'll be honest with you. I actually feel like, I think in some ways Atlanta got it right. Mm-hmm. Like, do I really think Atlanta's a Super Bowl, you know, team this year? I don't really, to be honest. Like, and so with that being the case, like, what matters to that new regime there? Is that they're great this year or they're set up to have some success years 3, 4, 5, 6 and whatever? Like that to me, I think, you know, matters more. So yeah, I think you just look at like some of those situations where you can say, yeah, like it's fair to say, like, look, I feel like they got it right. And then I think it's fair to say, you look at some other spots and say, look, at the draft probably didn't go the way they wanted to go. Like, I look at the Raiders. I love Brock Bowers. Mm-hmm. But there's no way they thought that they weren't going to get a quarterback early on. Like, I just can't think that they thought that all the quarterbacks would be gone before it got to them.
We're talking with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. So now that we're done with the 2024 draft, moving on to the 2025 draft, all of the way too early mock drafts have come out. And of course, you know, like this time last year, we weren't talking about Jaden Daniels as a top three prospect. Mm-hmm. So many things change in a year. But what I was more so looking at is where do some of these insiders project the Titans to pick? Not who they're going to pick, but where they're going to pick. And my goodness, Tim, there is not a lot of optimism for this Titans team. Nearly every single way too early mock draft that I have seen has the Titans either drafting in the top three or trading up to pick in the top three to take a quarterback. And I can't help but think that's a direct indictment on Will Levis. That the national media doesn't believe in Will Levis, that they expect the Titans to be bad and to be picking a quarterback. What is your impression of Will Levis through, you know, the small sample size that we have of him? And what do you think are fair expectations for Will Levis with, you know, Calvin Ridley being added to the receiving core and what we believe to be an upgraded offensive line and an upgraded offensive line coach?
Yeah, I would say this about Levis. I think that he, you know, changed my perception of him, you know, from the preseason into the regular season. You know, typically speaking, guys, you know, don't, you know, struggle in the preseason or have missed opportunities in the preseason and then get an opportunity during the year and play well. So, and I think that, you know, he, like, was it perfect? No. But, like, did he show enough promise? Yeah, I think that he did. And so, you know, what is a reasonable expectation? Like, if you just look at the sample size of 9 games last year where he throws, you know, 8 touchdowns and 4 picks and under 2,000 yards, like, you know, if you just were to say, all right, like, let's go ahead and let's just double the games. So if he throws for under 4,000 yards, 16 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, like, that won't get it done in terms of having the job the following year. It just won't. So, you know, is that realistic? Yeah, I actually think that's realistic. But what do I think needs to happen in order for him to have the job going into the following season? I think he needs to play way better than that. He probably needs to, you know, he needs to be, you know, right around 4,000 yards. He probably needs to have over 25 touchdowns. He probably needs to have, you know, fewer than 10 interceptions. And if he does that, then I think there'll be a chance that he's a starting quarterback going into the following season.
And what do you make of the AFC South as a whole? It's crazy how just 1 year ago we were talking about it being probably the worst division, one of the worst divisions in the National Football League. Now it might be one of the most competitive.
I would agree with that. Here's kind of how I see the division, how I think people will end up talking about the division. Everybody is going to love Houston. Everyone is. Just because the quarterback played well, you know, first year head coach. Just the assumption is that, like, everybody in Houston is going to be better. Whether that ends up being true or not, we'll see. Most likely it's not. But, like, that's the expectation, is that, like, that they are the darling and everyone's going to love them. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it's always going to be tempting to look in Jacksonville and say, man, like, there's a lot to like about the folks in Jacksonville. So you have that. And then you have, oh, by the way, Anthony Richardson, like, let's not have out of sight, out of mind. Like, you know, what do you think that he will be as a player? And so I think just the momentum in the division, and I think that people would probably rank them in that order that I just went through. Mm-hmm. And I think that the people would put the Titans, you know, last. I think that is how the division will be viewed. I do think it's a competitive division, but not the most competitive division. And I think the Titans have their work cut out for them.
And Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Just based off of what we know now, because I know that we can couch all of this with, well, we'll see in October or November when we see it in the field. But just right now, where the Titans stand, do you think that it's more likely that Will Levis, you know, has a solid season and begins to give us more hope and optimism that he is a franchise quarterback, or that the Titans will be looking for a new quarterback in the 2025 draft?
I mean, I think it's more likely that they're looking for a new quarterback. Now, saying that, I just would also say this. I think that what they're going to do offensively, you know, just kind of what they're going to hang their hat on, the fact that the talent I think is a little bit more proven. Look, I think there is a good chance. Like those benchmarks I talked about of, you know, whatever, north of 25 touchdown passes and all that. Like, I think that's very doable in this offense, you know, for Will Levis. And so I do think there's a chance that he plays well in it. So I just would say, like, look, are you taking, like, Will Levis as the future or the field? Like, I think most people would say, well, like, I would take the field just because of the history of guys not drafted in the first round and how their opportunities typically go. But, like, this to me is different than, like, Aiden O'Connell in Las Vegas. Like, I don't think there's any shot he's their quarterback next year. And I actually think he's a pretty good player. But I do think that there is a decent shot that it is Will Levis going forward in Tennessee.
Tim, I hear there is spring practice on Saturday.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go. We got a little orange and black, you know, on both sides of the ball. We're, you know, getting set up. It's going to be good. We middle school spring ball yesterday.
Okay. You see some good prospects in the middle school?
Turnout.
Did you see some good prospects?
Bunch of great prospects.
Okay.
Bring them out to the high school.
Hey, listen, you know they're going to want NIL, so you better get that pocket full.
Well, listen, that's why, you know, I'm going to reach out to some, you know, prominent alum parents of Denver school, like Derek Mason, you know.
Get your checkbook ready, D-Lewis.
Oh, man, you know, I've been happy to help you, Tim. I'll be happy to help you.
So, as long as we're winning.
That's
why, you know, like, hey, first top of my list, look, Derek Mason, you know, can't hide money. Can't hide it.
I've got orange slices and Gatorade to donate. That's all I can
offer.
Hey,
there you go. That's take anything. Anything helps.
No, good stuff.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, good luck on Saturday. Appreciate you for stopping by, and we'll catch up next week.
You got it. See you guys.
Yep. Appreciate it, Tim.